You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Back in 1971, I came across a poster containing a poem. It really captured my imagination. The poem was Desideratum and was accompanied by a brief explanation that claimed it was discovered in Old St Paul's Church in 1692. This somehow increased the value of the poem in my mind. How amazing it seemed that someone close to 300 years earlier could be so in touch with contemporary society, is what I thought. It appeared that there was such a strong connection between when the poem was composed and modern times, and this signalled that the basic challenges faced by humanity were in a sense timeless. The poem became so famous, being recorded as a spoken song by Les Crane, a hit on the hit parade charts, if you remember what they were, of the time, and achieved a Grammy Award. A few years back, I learnt, when I was preparing that address in 2017, that Desiderata was not written in the 17th century, but was written by Max Ehrmann in 1927. The confusion about the poem's origin occurred when it was published by the minister of Max's church as part of a communication with the congregation. Careful with your communication, huh? Maxey was born in Terre Haute, Indiana, to German immigrant parents, and was possibly influenced by his connection to the German Methodist Church. Does the discrepancy in the origin of the poem detract from its inherent messages, is the question. Having been written nearly 100 years ago, it provides evidence that there is a strong link between the generations in that although the events that challenge us may differ, how to deal with them does not. Before Desiderata was written, the world had suffered, as you know if you're historians, from World War I, one of the bloodiest conflicts in history. And after that, the Spanish flu pandemic had claimed a number of deaths, estimated somewhere between 20 and 50 million people worldwide, with about 12,000 Australians dying, approximately 2.3 deaths per 1,000 head of population, with 550 deaths occurring here in South Australia. The 1920s became known as the Roaring Twenties, the Charleston period, attributed to pretty much hedonistic behaviour for that time. It was a time when younger generations challenged the social mores of their elders. This affected fashion, with hemlines rising above the knees in more ways than one. Faith in organised religion was also diminished. Economically, the Great Depression was looming, very similar to the 1960s when I was a youth. Today, we are dealing with another pandemic. Instability in world politics, mistrust of politicians, organised religion hammered by scandals, as well as economic uncertainty. So do the messages from the last century have any relevance today in our contemporary life? Let's take a look at the poem, and I'm not going to read the whole thing out because it's a fairly long one, but as I said, there are copies that you can take if you wish. It begins, "Go placidly among the noise and haste and remember what peace there may be in silence." I think that's a bit of a challenge, attempting to remain calm, particularly now that technology has enabled us to stay connected with the wider world more than at any other time in our evolution. This can lead to a heightened sense of anxiety. I don't want to rabbit on about our experience when we were in Antarctica, but when we were denied ports to come home through and we had to come up with a good deal of money to get a charter flight home, we had very poor web communication and Helen spent something like 24 hours trying to get through on the internet to move money from one spot to another, and found it entirely daunting and overwhelming. And in the end, luckily, was able to contact our daughter here in Adelaide and say, go to our house, grab out our laptop, here's the master password, just go in and then do it, which she was able to do, and text it. But it was just a salient point that we rely so heavily now on the technology that's available to us and take for granted that we can have that connectivity 24/7. In the second half of Max's directive, he gives us a solution by leading us to the value, the importance of silence. And of course, meditation is one obvious way of achieving this. However, apart from this, what about the worth of simply seizing the moments we can during the day to allow ourselves to experience silence and peace? And I guess that connects with what Aaron said in his Candle of Joy this morning, connecting to nature, just getting out into it and having that silence and peace without having to meditate as we do here. How to conduct our relationships with others is a vital element of dealing with difficult times. Max states, as far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth, listen to others, and avoid loud and aggressive people. Fairly challenging, I think, in a way also. I mean, who gets to decide whether someone is noisy and aggressive or loud and aggressive? Could it be our perception of that person based on other incidents from the past? And the other thing, I think, is have we taken time to try to put ourselves in their place and see where they're coming from? We know we have the ability to control the effect that we allow others to have on us, but oh, to be a duck, as in order off a duck's back. Here is an example of how the Dalai Lama dealt with a confronting situation, as reported by the author Howard C. Cutler. I saw that as the man spoke, he became more visibly agitated. The man was saying something, but instead of responding, the Dalai Lama spontaneously took the man's hands between his, patted it gently, and for several moments simply stood there, silently nodding. The look of pain and agitation suddenly seemed to drain from the man's face. In those quieter times of our lives when we might have time for reflection, Max suggests that we ought to enjoy our achievements. And I think that goes back to the old Christian thing of count your blessings day by day. I don't know if many of you remember the song, Count Your Blessings One by One and It Will Surprise You What the Lord Has Done. It's that sort of thing of just reflecting on all the good things that have happened in your day or in your life and acknowledging them. Possibly Max is asking us not to merely celebrate those times we achieve a goal, but also to enjoy the process of getting to the goal. In planning, we can overlook those life events that directly affect the plans. What we do about the challenges is an opportunity for character development. If we adopt the attitude that mistakes are as valuable in our learning processes as the successes, this could lead to a greater sense of enjoyment in the journey towards our goals. Example this morning, here's the mistake that I made. I've learned a lesson, I hope. Check what you've got. If you are cursed by the affection of perfectionism, the journey, when faced with making a mistake, can be tough. This is not to say that having high expectations is bad. Thank goodness many people do, no matter what their career, professional work. Striving for high ideals, but taking perfectionism to an extreme, can be a very counterproductive and crippling exercise. Max then entreats us not to become cynical about life or humanity. He acknowledges the darker side of the human psyche, but challenges us not to dwell on this, instead focus on the good that surrounds us. The media loves to promote sporting personalities to the ranks of heroism, and certainly some may well be. Gillian Rolton, I don't know if you can remember her, an Australian 2-time equestrian gold medalist, is one who sprung to my mind. In her pursuit of a gold medal in the 1996 Atlantic Summer Olympics, after a number of falls and breaking many bones and in great pain, she completed the course, helping her team to win a gold medal. However, there are so many acts of heroism that go unnoticed, as the persons involved often don't seek glorification. They are simply being true to themselves, living life with integrity and quiet bravery. Take as an example the efforts of the frontline workers during the pandemic. I believe that many of their acts were driven by commitment, compassion, and love. Love, it seems, such a loosely used word at times, and yet remains a basic important part of our humanity. It is diminished if restricted in definition to only one of its many forms, that is, romantic love, in all its forms, that is, eros, or sexual passion, philia, or deep friendship, ludus, or playful love, agape, or love for everyone, pragma, or long-standing love, philatia, or love of the self. All of those connect us to a better world, and Max reminds us that it is as perennial as the grass. Perhaps the next two statements from the poem are directed towards an older age group, or maybe not. First one is, take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit, be gentle with yourself. Now the first one can be quite challenging, particularly when you consider things like surrendering your physical mobility and other health issues associated not only with ageing, but as Grant said, with younger persons as well this morning. The operative word is gracefully, but how do you do that? The second part of this line from the poem is something that can apply to any age group, but is particularly challenging as you age and can no longer do the things that perhaps you once did with efficiency. The poem challenges us to be gentle with ourselves. Somebody said, John, I think it might have been Jenny Opie, who said, as you grow older, you've got to stop looking at yourself as a robust coffee mug. You've got to think of yourself more as an antique fine bone china piece of crockery. The world may not always treat you with patience and kindness, and at times you can feel like an invisible person as you walk among a crowd as you age. However, while we may not be able to change how others view ourselves, we can change how we view ourselves. Max advises us, don't distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born out of fatigue and loneliness. Loneliness and tiredness are not the sole domains for aging and elderly, of course. These conditions apply to any age group, however they are major issues for older members of our society, particularly when they become isolated from family and friends, and particularly during the pandemic that was an issue and still remains an issue with some of our older folk. In times of great distress, it is easy to be overwhelmed by events that we have no control over. What has been a positive from the COVID-19 experience is that the way in which people have reached out to others. Sunday's Age last week had a newspaper headline which was titled An Outbreak of Kindness. And of course it was speaking about our Melbourne brethren who are in that lockdown situation and have been for a long time. However, it went on to say it was a focus on highlighting a range of things that citizens of Melbourne had and are organising to reach out to their fellow citizens. These include organising and delivering comfort parcels, writing letters of support to Year 12 students, accompanied by snacks and other goodies, and quality pens to help them with their handwritten exams. One woman had a bake-off every Sunday morning and continues to do that, and placed the goodies on a table in front of her house for people to just come along and help themselves. A couple of men in another neighbourhood are mowing lawns for people without them asking them to, their neighbours, just going in and mowing their lawns. There are some very practical ways people are combating the isolation, and most of the people interviewed in that article said by doing those acts of kindness, it really helped them in their sense of isolation and dealing with that sense of loss. Naturally, many fears and worries occur when we are lonely or tired, particularly as you age. Marion Williamson, if you've ever read any of Marion Williamson's things, quite a lot of wisdom there. She was raised as a Jewish person and adopted Christianity in her late life. She says, our fear of age will be cast out as we once more begin to respect it. She suggests that the whole of society has a role to play here in developing kinder, more considerate ways of dealing with the elderly, as well as acknowledging the wisdom of their years. The last section of Desiderata opens possibilities for a good deal of discussion, particularly with you are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. The flip side Albright's is responsibility. So many times when I was teaching young people, they would voice their dreams of the rights they would have when they achieved adult status or were old enough to gain a driver's license. I'd endeavoured to get them to consider the responsibilities that were attached to the freedoms they imagined. For members of any society, it appears that it is a fine balancing act between rights and responsibilities. I like John F. Kennedy's famous speech when he advised, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." So what appeals to me about this poem is the sense of hope it encourages at the end, stating that whether we understand it or not, the universe is unfolding as it should. We are then reminded to be at peace with God, whatever you conceive God to be, and keep peace with your soul, and to remember that with everything that diminishes our concept of humanity, it is still a beautiful world. It appears that Max has set out to define a set of beatitudes, if you like, that are ideals that, if practiced, would improve the quality of our human existence. Naturally, like all poems, it is open to interpretation by the reader. Here is the writer for this address. These are simply my impressions and interpretation of the poem. However, I believe the intrinsic value of the messages in the poem have not diminished since Max wrote it about a century ago. And the closing words today aren't by Louise Hay. They come from Karen Lewis Folly, who was a UUA minister in the States. May we honour and hold gently our past. May we live our present. May we hope toward and build our future, living this ideal. To be a spiritual community, to welcome all, to nurture one another, to work for justice, and to care for the earth. May these walls around us breathe with hope, faith, and love of all the ages. May they never become walls that separate to hold us in and others out. May they be like arms that reach out to embrace our community and our beautiful and broken world, extending our ministry to all with healing, justice, service, and love. Let us go forth in joy, live in peace, and return in love. So may it be. Amen.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.